There's an old gallows humor joke about banks and creditors. If you owe the bank $30,000, the bank owns you. If you owe the bank $300 million, well, you own the bank. That pretty much portrays Rhode Island's relationship with the state's two legal gambling emporiums, the Twin River Casino and the foundering Newport Grand Video Slot Parlor. When state-sponsored and promoted gambling grows to the third largest source of state revenue, the gambling companies are going to get just about everything they want from the Smith Hill gang. In the legislative session that just ended, Twin River was granted the right to issue credit lines of up to $50,000 per gambler and to serve alcohol from 6 a.m. until 2 a.m. on weekends, as well as on evenings before state and federal holidays. Lawmakers also voted to hold yet another statewide and local referendum on turning Newport from its current reliance on one-armed banded slots into a full-fledged casino with table games. Rhode Island's gambling policies have been complicated by Massachusetts' 2011 decision to jump on the casino gravy train. Governor Deval Patrick and Bay State lawmakers set up an elaborate strategy to ensure that licensing casinos in their state would be a rational process. Restrictions were placed on political influence and what looked like strong provisions to ensure that characters with shady backgrounds were not allowed in this business. It hasn't worked out that way. How could it when so much money is at stake? The estimated revenue from a casino located in the Boston metropolitan market is $750 million a year. The process has turned into a messy lawyer and lobbyist lollapalooza, replete with lawsuits, endless public controversy, and what the Boston Globe's casino reporter labels a nose-wrinkling aroma of lurking felons and organized crime. Now, Massachusetts voters will face their own referendum in November on whether to repeal the casino law. Globe polling shows the referendum to be close. Which side you're on depends largely on socioeconomics. Rich people don't want casinos, poor people do. If Rhode Island's history with casino votes is any guide, the Massachusetts ballots will break largely along demographic lines. All you have to know is that in 2006, the surgeons and bankers of Leafy Barrington rejected the Narragansett Casino plan by a vote of 80% to 20%. In that same election, the factory workers and janitors of struggling Central Falls approved the casino by a 66 to 34% margin. The view that there's a pot of gold at the end of the casino rainbow drives this industry. 3 years ago, there were just two full-blown casinos in New England. Now, as many as eight are in the works. Casinos breed more casinos as states rush to poach gamblers from their neighbors. Newport voters have long rejected casino gambling. It's an industry that doesn't fit with the image of their city as a destination that attracts tourists because of the Gilded Age mansions, the world-class golf courses, and the shimmering beaches. Call it NIMBYism or snobbery, but many in a city rich in history and sailboats just don't see it as a gambling mecca. Now comes a group led by former Providence Mayor Joe Paolino that wants to pump millions into the tired Newport Grand Slot Parlor and add attractions more in sync with Newport's other tourist venues, such as a Canyon Ranch-style spa. Paolino and his investors say they will go through with the sale and the renovations only if Newport voters approve table games. In this muddle are Rhode Island taxpayers. Wouldn't it be nice if the next governor and lawmakers could develop some new businesses so that we could wean ourselves off the increasingly precarious gambling revenue? P.T. Barnum said famously that a sucker is born every minute. But do we really want to yoke Rhode Island's economic future on luring more suckers?